Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 12:33 on Portland's number one sports radio station, 1080 The Fan. Hope you guys are enjoying your Labor Day, relaxing, lounging. Maybe some of you guys are working, making some extra scratch. But we're talking Oregon and Auburn right now. We talked about Auburn coming back in the last segment. So let's bring on good friend of the show, Tyson Alger of The Athletic, joining us now.
We attacked the buffet at AT&T Stadium together.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we dominated that dojo.
Who came out victorious, you or Tyson?
I mean, I'd probably say me.
Oh. Yeah. Tyson, do you agree with that?
I mean, he wiped the floor with me on the barbecue, on the food spread. It was it was like Auburn coming down on that final drive.
Oh no! You got Bo Nixed. That doesn't help.
He did.
You know, I was reading your Sunday Thoughts article, and you know, I love the way you attacked the three or four different areas of things. I just want to start with this one. There's no doubting the recruiting prowess of him, the intensity, the commitment, the passion. Is it fair to question Mario Cristobal yet, or is it still too early in your opinion in the tenure?
Yeah, that's an awfully tricky one because it's so early in the tenure and there's so much other stuff that they do right where, you know, I think it's fair to question whether or not the very specifics of certain on-field things are his strongest suit. And I think it's not fair to be like, you know, I had this in my my story of like, there's a big narrative of can these coaches coach? And it's like, well, of course they can coach. It's just how good at this level are they? And, you know, I think it's still way too much of a small sample size, but you know, we've seen, you know, a couple issues arise in these 13, 14 games so far with like this Cristobal regime and you know, whether it's be from clock management or just certain decisions. And I'm not a huge questioning exactly what they called in certain situations because, you know, we don't know every little particular circumstance. Mm-hmm. But that was a tough one to swallow, especially for the amount of eyeballs on that game, because this Oregon program has been doing so much right over the last pretty much since the time Cristobal took over that everything's going to be under the microscope, especially in that sort of atmosphere.
Right, a big game like that. And I think the other coach that's getting probably the most heat, and this has been really the case going all the way back to last year, is Marcus Arroyo. When you have a second half in which you last basically 5.5 possessions of the game, you're not able to do much, not able to move the ball consistently. Some thought he was too aggressive and then too conservative. And the play caller is always going to get the majority of the blame, no matter what level of football we're talking about. But how did you feel about Arroyo's performance and then his decision to either be aggressive or too conservative in the second half?
You know, Arroyo's just got to be scratching his head and be like, okay, like all last year, you guys were telling me I was too conservative, and now you're just telling me that I'm too aggressive. You know, I was so impressed with the way that they did those first three drives. I thought that the plays were creative. I thought they were getting guys open in space and all those sorts of things. You know, ultimately what I think kind of caught up with Oregon, I think the fact that they had a lot of their playmakers out of this game, really kind of caught up to them, and that this Auburn defense, which was kind of caught off guard by kind of the early part of that game, they got comfortable and they started playing like that Auburn defense that we had been talking about for the last 8 months. Like, this was a really good team. And once they were able to kind of realize that Oregon wasn't going to be able to mix that kind of long ball in there, they were able to crack down on a lot of the shorter yardage stuff. And that really stuffed up that running game. If you look at the first three drives, Oregon was doing its best when they were kind of mixing in a lot of play action. I think that's when they had that 40, 45-yard completion to Johnny Johnson. It's because there was a threat of a run there. And when that completely imploded in the second half, I think that just really killed a lot of their options. But I do think that you can go and look at, I think it was that first drive in the fourth quarter when they ran on third and seven with C.J. Burdell. I think that's one that's gotten a lot of criticism. And, you know, I don't know what they were – seen there, but that seemed like kind of like almost like they were punting on that possession.
Yeah, that's always one of the tough ones, though, isn't it? It's like, that seems like such a bad play in the moment, but then there's that other part of me in the back of my head that thinks, what if he thought he'd catch him way off guard, never expecting a run on third and seven? I think that's the life of an offensive coordinator, basically down to a T. We're talking with Tyson Alger of the Athletic, Oregon Duck beat writer. Look, there is a lot of negatives you could point out. You don't want to blow a 21-6 lead, and it's kind of our jobs to give the opinions, and some people get mad at those opinions. But I think one positive that I took away, and this isn't good for me and my Oregon State Beavers, I think Oregon's scary as hell in the Pac-12, because if you compare it to other Pac-12 performances, Washington beat a team that they should have wiped the floor with. Washington State did the same thing. Stanford barely beat Northwestern, and God, I don't even know how they covered that point spread at the end there. USC's quarterback is now gone. You break down this conference, Tyson. Utah looked impressive against BYU. Ultimately, though, I still look at Oregon and say they were up 21-6 on Auburn. How many other teams in this conference would be able to say that? Washington couldn't do that last year. So I actually walked away still encouraged that this season is obviously far from over with 11 games left. But I also don't know how many teams can even stack up talent-wise with them, even if they don't have all those wide receivers.
Well, that's definitely the thing. Like, once you get a little bit further away from just the kind of the dramatics of the actual loss, is you start to look at that thing. And the one thing that Oregon needs to fix is fixable. You know, they can get better at play calling. They can get better at just kind of game management and that sort of thing. I would be so much more concerned if this was just an instance where Oregon was just out-talented in that game. Mm-hmm. Oregon has the most important thing that it needs right now, and it's talent. That roster up to, like, defense, offense, everything looked really good in that game. And that's the most important thing that they need in this conference. And I came away feeling better about their chances in the Pac-12, despite the loss, than I felt even before going into that game. I think Oregon looks like the best team in the Pac-12 right now, which is weird to say coming off of a loss. But as long as they don't get in their own way, I don't see any team in the conference, maybe other than Washington's hard to tell just because they played an FCS team, and it's hard to tell whether or not the smoke, I mean, you know, whether Eason had a big game for them, but it's hard to tell whether or not that smoke and mirrors just based on the opponent. But I think it kind of further implemented the fact that Oregon and Washington are kind of the two teams at the class of the conference right now.
Yeah. The other encouraging part I took away as well was the performance of some of the younger guys. Like, Penei Sewell had some incredible highlights, just pancaking dudes. You had a tweet about Javon Hall that I agreed with, just in the performance that he had. And I know Cristobal today called him the player of the game. What did you make of some of the younger guys, including the freshmen who Oregon fans got a chance to see for the first time from that highly touted recruiting class?
Yeah, man, I was watching some kind of like isolated clips of Sewell this morning, and he was just manhandling dudes. You know, he's everything that we said he was last year, and he's in better shape this year. And he's going to be a first round pick either next year or the year after. He's a really good player. Holland, I think I can't think of a more impressive younger defensive player that I've seen on Oregon and, you know, since I started covering the team in 2014, just the mixture of what he was able to do in the secondary, the leadership. And then he was just absolutely electric on the punt return too. I mean, it's not just the athleticism, but just reading and patience that I think he's going to be, he could be Oregon's best player on the team when it's all said and done. As for the true freshman, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, the one that we had talked about all offseason, he didn't make much of an impact that game, but the one player that I was pretty blown, not blown away with, but just very impressed was Mace Funa at outside linebacker. This was a kid This Auburn game was the first football game he's played in two seasons. He missed all last year after knee surgery. At one point, he had ballooned up to like 280 pounds, and he's dropped all of that. He's gotten in shape, and man, he was giving people problems in that game. So I was very impressed with the way he played, especially from the fact that he didn't get here in the spring. He came here in fall camp, and it's been a very accelerated process for him. I think Mace Funa is definitely the freshman that you go like, oh, okay, this kid can play.
So Nevada's their next game. Who is their final non-conference, Tyson?
Just this big juggernaut from the FCS, the Montana Grizzlies.
Tyson's Montana Grizzlies. Tyson's, man.
That's right. Okay. That's right, because I saw your tweet, and you're like, trips off to a great start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so presumably they've got two games. They should be 2-1 going into conference play. What is Tyson Alger, though, looking for in the next two games? They might win both these games by 30 each. What are you looking for to maybe see that Oregon learned from it and then also is maybe more ready for conference play this season?
I want one more than anything. I just want to see them be healthy. I think more than anything that this team just needs to get to the Stanford game healthy, whether it's those receivers or who else, you know, one thing that I think gets overlooked in this game is, again, Cam McCormick missed it, as he missed much of last season, and this kid is a beast in run blocking. And that's kind of leads into the other thing. I just want to see this running game get going. That was such a bad second half for that running game after we talked about how well CJ Verdell and Travis Dye played during their freshman year, and they did. And one game shouldn't be an example of what's to come for the entire season. But they have to get this running game going, or else, you know, if some of these receivers are hurt, that's going to be way too much pressure put on Herbert to win these games. And not that I'm worried that Nevada or Montana could beat anybody in the country. I'm not worried in these two games, but you just want to see them get into a rhythm and maybe just show kind of some bravado and confidence out there. Like be the team that sets the tempo and shows that, hey, like, we may have lost that Auburn game, but we still think that we're Pac-12 crown caliber. We think that we should be playing for a big, big bowl game at the end of the season. Just have some of that swagger that we haven't quite seen in quite some time here.
Yeah. Tyson Alger, theathletic.com is where you can find his work, a beat writer covering for the Ducks for a few years now. He's a good friend of the show. Also has It Never Rains podcast that goes down with him and Fentress, if you guys want to check that out as well. Tyson, thanks so much for joining us on this Labor Day. We appreciate it, man, and we'll catch up soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Always love coming on here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.